We begin on campus, where UNC officials say they're planning for a more traditional fall semester, meaning students back in the classroom full-time after more than a year of remote learning. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach with the latest.
UNC is planning a return to normal campus operations by mid-July, allowing a month between students returning to campus in August and employees returning in July. During the summer session, most classes will remain remote, with select classes like labs meeting in person. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said he understands the complications and frustrations of remote learning, but is looking ahead to seeing more students on campus.
Right now, we're sort of in that complicated time on our campus where we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not yet at the end of the tunnel, but I'm confident that we're going to be able to get there.
One factor in reaching the light at the end of the tunnel is increased vaccinations. Through the campus vaccination clinic, more than 2,800 students have received a COVID-19 vaccine, not including other students receiving vaccinations elsewhere. UNC is currently not requiring its students and faculty to receive the vaccine, but is asking members of the community to self-report vaccination status. Guskowitz said students who are vaccinated are still required to test regularly in the Carolina Together testing program because of potential variants of the virus and more people coming to campus regularly.
Even if the majority of the classes are being taught remotely, our dining halls are still open, our libraries are open, the student rec centers, etc. And I think we will begin to see more people coming to campus, so we want to be sure that we can protect everyone.
The testing program, which has completed more than 150,000 COVID-19 tests over the semester, will continue into the summer with students living on campus testing twice per week and other students attending classes in person testing once per week. The university is working with UNC Health and the Orange County Health Department to determine what testing may look like in the fall.
If that testing program's in place for the fall, I'd be surprised if it looked the same way and had the same requirements that it does today. But if I were a betting man, I would say, yes, we're going to probably have that testing program available, and we're just going to have to wait to figure out exactly what the requirements would be.
For the fall semester, the university is planning for near full capacity of residence halls, with 7,500 students living on campus and one or two dorms available for quarantine or isolation. Guskowitz said in-person instruction will likely require students and instructors to wear masks as an extra precaution. The planned fall 2021 start date is August 18th. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Meanwhile, in Durham, Duke University announced on Friday that all undergrads and grad students will be required to get the COVID vaccine before enrolling for the fall semester. Those students can be exempted for documented medical or religious reasons. Back in Chapel Hill, UNC is eyeing new names for three buildings that are currently named after people with close ties to white supremacy. An advisory committee met on Thursday to discuss potential new names for Acock Hall, the Carr Building, and the Daniels Building. Chancellor Guskowitz says he expects the buildings to be renamed before the fall semester. RAs in UNC campus housing, meanwhile, have had a very unusual semester, with campus dorms only about half full and a real uphill battle to build any sense of community. Carolina Connection's Zach Engler has more on UNC's resident advisors.
In a normal year at UNC, resident advisors, or RAs, have a busy job straight from the get-go.
Right from the beginning is roommate agreements. So that's a huge chunk of the beginning. And then you're starting to plan programs and you're on duty and you're actually sitting at the desk. So you have to be physically present in the community.
Lindsay Cox is a junior at UNC who has been an RA for 2 years. When she started in her sophomore year, the job was very much hands-on.
So I think the responsibilities were definitely be present, get to know your residents, and like being in community.
As has been the case with many jobs during the pandemic, the responsibilities of RAs have changed, and according to Fahad Shah, a second-year RA at UNC, they've changed a lot.
I think it's like almost a completely different job, but with the same purpose. The purpose is still to like try and create a sense of community. It's just that before, that was, I don't want to say easier, it was just more normal.
Creating a sense of community among their residents is a big part of being a resident advisor. RAs normally do this through events such as ice cream socials, video game nights, or watch parties. Due to COVID protocols, these in-person programs have had to be put on hold. Many RAs are struggling to find new ways to get to know their residents.
How do you create a sense of community? Talk to people, have events, like eat with people, play games together, stuff like that. And now it has to be a lot more intentional. You have to actually go out of your way sometimes and do stuff. Before, it was a lot more passive.
Normally, RAs start the year by meeting residents to create roommate agreements, intended to head off disputes later. This year, nobody's sharing rooms, so there were no meetings. Nor do RAs man desks in dorm lobbies like they used to, depriving them of another opportunity to meet and socialize with residents.
It's a lot harder to get to know residents, especially because you don't want to like be present. You're not supposed to be out and about. So being a physical, welcoming face in the community has changed a lot.
For some communities, Cox tells me, the RAs themselves have grown very close. Now it's just about finding a way to get the residents involved in both a safe and entertaining manner. Some RAs have tried holding virtual events over Zoom and invited their residents to come and socialize safely, but these have not been as successful as in-person events. For many RAs, it seems to be like it's back to the drawing board to try to figure out how to create a community during a pandemic. From Chapel Hill, I'm Zach Engler.
For Carolina Connection, a UNC student-produced radio newscast that airs on Saturday mornings at 8:30 here on 97.9 The Hill. Around the Triangle, Governor Roy Cooper on Friday signed three education bills into law to help students who've fallen behind in the last year. Those bills include one that requires K-12 school districts to offer at least 6 weeks of summer school, and another that seeks to improve the Read to Achieve program for early grade students. Back locally, the Chapel Hill Town Council last week passed a resolution declaring a climate emergency and asking the town manager to develop funding options to address climate challenges. Mayor Pam Heminger discussed that resolution last week with 97.9 The Hill.
We actually declared a climate emergency because we do feel like we've got to act now. John Richardson has been our lead from the town staff. He's done an amazing job of community outreach. It was evident last night when several members of the Sunrise Chapel Barrel came to speak last night, and the fact that John had reached in and worked with them. We had a plan that has been evolving and using best practices and ideas from across the country. We've had interns working for us, researching that information as well, a consultant, to come back with a plan that works for Chapel Hill. Again, you have to benchmark where you are so that you can see if you've made progress. And so we spent time doing that as well. And it was broken into several areas that we can track. And we've got buildings and transportation, energy and land use. And as I keep saying, we've got to do this in partnership with others, because in order to move the needle, everyone's going to have to work together on this, which means we're going to have to change some people's habits and behaviors and invest in our community in ways if we're going to actually make the needle work. And we're going to have to work with our regional partners and the state, everyone is going to be involved in this. But John's done an amazing job pulling all this together. That's something we can understand and know what works in our community and where we need to focus our energies.
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelborough.com. Hillsborough Town Board meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, and the Orange County School Board is meeting tonight at 6:30. HillsboroughNC.gov for the full agenda and a link to the live stream for the Hillsborough meeting. OrangeCountyFirst.com is the Orange County School District's website for that agenda and a link to the stream. Finally, speaking of schools, big congratulations to Eugenia Floyd, a fourth grade teacher at Scroggs Elementary School. She was just named the 2021 North Carolina Teacher of the Year. Hey, head to our website, chapelborough.com, for more local news, including a piece from the Chatham News and Record about Chatham County's reopening plans for facilities like the library and the Ag Center in Pittsburgh. Time is 6:16. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. More roster shakeups over the weekend for UNC men's basketball, as one longtime Tar Heel is set to leave, but a new Tar Heel announced plans to come on board. Senior forward Garrison Brooks has entered the transfer portal for his final year of eligibility after averaging 10 points and 7 rebounds a game last season. But Virginia sophomore Justin McCoy announced his own plans to transfer to Carolina over the weekend. The 6'8 carry native averaged 3.5 points a game with the Cavaliers last year. Busy weekend all around for UNC sports. Alex Rose got the game-winning goal as UNC men's soccer beat Duke on Sunday 1-0. Top-ranked UNC field hockey beat Virginia 3-2 in overtime. All three goals came from Aaron Mattson. Third-ranked UNC men's lacrosse lost to Virginia 18-16, but the top-ranked women's lacrosse team had a better weekend, riding five goals from Jamie Ortega to an 11-10 win over fourth-ranked Notre Dame. UNC men's tennis lost to Wake Forest, but the women's tennis team got a pair of wins over Syracuse and Boston College. That win over BC was the 40th straight for Tar Heel women's tennis, also clinched the ACC regular season title. UNC softball split a four-game series with Virginia, and Carolina baseball not quite done with their weekend yet. They split the first two games of a rain-delayed three-game set with Duke. Yesterday, they came from three runs down to beat the Blue Devils 11-5. Game three of the series, the rubber match, is tonight at 6, and we're going to have all the action for you right here this evening on 97.9 The Hill. And congratulations to UNC's Reza Merchant, just named UNC's ACC, rather, Men's Epe Fencer of the Year after a freshman season that included an ACC title and a top 20 finish at the NCAAs. He's just getting started. Finally, in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes lost in a shootout to the Detroit Red Wings 5-4 on Saturday. They're back in action hosting the Red Wings again tonight at 7.